I always knew I was going to be a professional athlete. I kind of always had like that underdog path. And ultimately, I got drafted. You know, it's just a lot of moving parts in professional baseball, and it's a grind. But we also have to be clear on what is for us, being true to ourselves. And it was that moment where I actually decided.
Hey, y'all. Hey, it's your host, Paisa Noel, and welcome to the Paisa Noel Show, hashtag PNS, a talk show based in LA, California, where most of the guests reside. Also a talk show where we always find that laugh. I am stoked that we have officially arrived at PNS Season 2, themed Overcoming the Odds and Pursuing Passion. In addition, PNS viewers and listeners have now been named, drumroll, Paisa Noel Show Passion Propellers and Bold Beauties. You may be saying, what do that mean? Well, all that means is that you are bold, beautiful, and not just pursuing, but propelling your passion. And if you're not, quote unquote, yet, I think you will after hearing these stories. Throughout my journey as a former professional dancer turned talk show creator, I have met some fascinating people with inspiring stories. Let's dive on in and hear them. Peace out. Hi, my Paisa Noel Show Passion Propellers and Bold Beauties. I hope everything's well today. And today I have one of my middle school and high school friends, Michael Daniel, with me. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Paisa. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming and joining us. I'm excited to have him here today. And Michael was a professional baseball player. And I always have to start with my accolades. So, of course, I bring people on not only by their accomplishments, but also because of their character and because of some reason and some way that they inspired me. That's why I brought Michael on. Me and Michael went to school in middle school together, and I always knew baseball was the love and the passion. Yeah. And we went to high school together, and it was still the passion. Baseball was the passion. And then I split ways going to college, and, you know, I traveled and he went to Chapel Hill. But what I really liked about Michael was his passion for baseball. Like, that has been consistent since I've known him. And I remember in superlatives, he was the most likely to succeed. And he did succeed in making it and doing well in the professional baseball league. So he's going to get into the technicalities and stuff like that. But the point is that he made it, and I am super, super proud. And he's still as humble as he was when he was in middle and high school. And he just always had a really good character. I remember in high school, one of the stories is, now we live 5 minutes away max, but we would always be running late for our English class. And I would have all these like flags and stuff, because they made us do color guard if we wanted to be on the dance team, but, you know, it's all right. And then he would have all his like baseball bats, and we would have all this gear, and we had to go up the stairs, and we would both be running up the stairs going to class. So that's one of my main memories of us. But yeah, I just really wanted to bring him on because even today, he still found a way to follow passion and to keep passion alive in his life. And it's just so admirable how he did not stray from what he loves, and he's making sure he enjoys life, and he still fit in a family and love and everything else. So I really admire that. So that's why I brought Mikey here.
Thank you, Paisa. I appreciate it. And I feel the same about you. You know, you've always had like your passion for dance and entertainment, and like you've gone after it, and I certainly admire you for just all the work that you've put in and the time that you put in. You follow your passion, you know, and a lot of people are afraid to do that. You know, it takes a lot of courage to kind of go after your passion and stick with it, especially in the industry, like whether it's entertainment or whether it's sports, right? Like it's kind of both the same, and it's a difficult path, you know, and it just definitely shows like your character, your resilience, your determination to push. And I certainly congratulate you on all of your success, and I wish you continued success for sure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Oh, and one more note. His mom used to own a dance studio and she was a dancer. So she would always help me out. And I remember her helping me one day. She had the worst migraine, but she is that loving that she still was helping me with my solo when we were like making space in apartments and stuff and making sure we could dance. So he comes from an amazing family also. So thank you. So we do have a new theme for season two, and that is overcoming the odds and pursuing passion. So I think that Michael is a great poster king. I don't want to say poster child, poster king for this.
I like that. Thank you.
So we're going to talk about that, but I do want to read a few things that I found on Google about overcoming the odds. Interchangeable is defying the odds, but I love the word overcoming, so I use that. Overcoming the odds is succeeding in something that you are highly unlikely to achieve, achieving something that most would deem impossible. That's a big one. An accomplishment of something that was seemingly improbable, or succeeding in something where people thought you would fail. That's a big one. And then when the odds are stacked against you and it's not very likely you'll succeed, but you do, then that means you have overcome the odds. So that helped me think of some more ways that I have overcome the odds in my story. So I just wanted to read it to you guys and see if it sparked anything for Michael. Overcoming the odds. What comes to mind first when you hear that?
What comes to mind is just, I always like to think about like how we think as children, right? Like when you're a child, you have these big dreams and no one can tell you that you're not going to do that, right? Like you're not thinking about odds. You're not thinking about what's realistic, what's responsible, you know, all of these things that we kind of start thinking about as we get older, we become adults and stuff like that. And maybe even have other voices in our heads, you know, but, I think odds is just something that some people don't really think about, you know, and I guess in the back of our minds, we kind of know the difficulty in certain paths, but every person that I ever, you know, listen to or you read about people who've achieved these high things in pursuing their passion, they just focus on like being in the moment. They focus on like what they can control. They focus on their love and their passion. And that's kind of what drives them throughout. And they really find a way to block out all of the naysayers or all of the, you know, statistics on, oh, you know, only a certain amount of people make it and it's a one in a million chance or whatever. Because that ultimately leads to you like not being your best self, right? Like you end up being careful. You know, you think you're being responsible, but actually you're not being responsible for you. That's something that I've actually seen both sides of. To kind of give you an idea, as you kind of alluded to in the opening, I always knew I was going to be a professional athlete. You know, when I was really young, it was kind of like, I'm going to be the first MLB and NBA player ever, you know, at the same time or whatever. And then you kind of get older and you realize like, okay, maybe I want to go down this path. Maybe I want to focus on this particular sport. And you're right. Baseball was always kind of like that number one for me, you know, although I played basketball in high school, played football, you know, probably up until eighth grade and ran track and kind of did a lot of different sports, but there was just something about baseball that I hold close to. And so stuck with it, you know, went through the path and everything. And ultimately, I got drafted. You know, I played high school ball, and I appreciate my parents for driving me around to different showcases. And I mean, you basically travel the country trying to get seen. Like that's literally how it is. It's all these different tryouts and these showcases and these tournaments. Sure enough, you know, I had to go way out to California and play in a tournament in Long Beach, this big national showcase. And that's when the coach at North Carolina first saw me play. Didn't even know I was from Charlotte. Didn't even know I lived here or whatever. And I had to go play against these guys who were top players in the country and show what I could do against them just to get noticed, you know? And so I kind of almost always had like that underdog path, and, you know, got to college. I had a chance to possibly get drafted out of high school because you can do that in baseball, but, you know, chose the college route. And ultimately got drafted by the Washington Nationals back in 2005. So it was a lot of hard work that kind of paid off. But that's not the end in baseball. Like that's really just the beginning of your career, and now you have this long road in the minor leagues. To fast forward a little bit, I played really well in the minor leagues. I was a 3-time All-Star. But that doesn't guarantee that you're going to get called up to the major leagues, you know? So I'm on my path. I get all the way up to the Triple-A level and start bouncing around. You know, I got released from the Nationals, signed as a free agent with another team, with the Colorado Rockies, and played for the Braves a little bit before that. And now all of a sudden you find yourself at a crossroads. Like, do I stick with my passion or do I do the responsible thing and go to work, or, you know, get this corporate job, or do what it kind of everybody else does that was never really in the plan. You know what I mean? So it takes a lot of courage to like stay on our path and even pursue that path. I think that's what I think about when I hear things like defying the odds. You know, it's the courage, it's the ultimately the honesty and the truth with yourself.
Wow. You were saying at the beginning that you think like you think when you're a child. And I would say that you're a rare case, because the fact that you were able to like keep that positive thought and not let all the stuff get in your ear and just know that you're gonna make it, even though you said like, okay, well, now I got to focus on one or the other. The fact that you stuck with it and you proved it and you made it through is just really inspiring to me. And it's incredible that you were able to do that. That's already an odd, because most people are not strong enough to continue to think that way. And they're not strong enough to mentally just block out all of that negative energy. So I admire you for that. And now I'm saying, like, this is why he succeeded, because you were able to stay focused. Your focus is one of your best qualities, I believe, and just sticking to your passion. So
thank you.
That was really cool to hear. I want to add one more thing, too. You know, I forgot that you played basketball and you were a really good basketball player too. And I do remember the winning game in middle school. That was so long ago, but it was just a cool moment.
But
I forgot all the other sports that you played. I had no idea that you were traveling like that to do all those showcases and stuff.
Yeah. So,
man, that's major.
So like that year, it was actually before our senior year.
My God.
That junior summer, I was like all over the nation. I was playing, you know, I played on the East Coast, I played on the West Coast. Like, you go up, and I remember going up to Delaware and had to try out for this team to play in California. And that's what kind of put me on the map. Gave me a little bit of national notoriety, but that's just part of it. It's just like an entertainment, you know, you do auditions and you do all these different things trying to get the right eyes on you. You know what I mean? And again, just the support that I had from my parents and my family and friends and everything, including you, Paisa, like just the encouragement along the way from eighth grade on, you know what I mean? And even before that, when I was in New Orleans, before I moved to Charlotte, like, you realize it's all of the family and friends and the support that you have that kind of helps us keep going. You know, it's kind of like our fuel to do it.
Yeah. What was like your biggest odd or one of your biggest challenges on your route and on your journey?
No, it's a perfect question based off of what I already said. You know, like, so I did hit that point where you kind of feel like, dang, like the dream is kind of coming to an end, right? Or it doesn't look exactly how I pictured it as a kid, you know, and I was fortunate enough to literally get all the way to that point and achieving everything that I had envisioned, you know, going to a big college, big university, getting drafted, playing in an organization and doing well. It was like I was just waiting for that next step, because for those who don't know, in professional baseball, you basically have 6 levels that you have to go through before you get a chance to get up to the major league. So although we are professionals and you know, you're drafted by that major league team, it's kind of like you got to wait your turn, or you hope that you're in an organization where your position is needed at the major league level. So there's really no set formula that guarantees a call up. And then even when you get called up, it's no guarantee that you stay. So it's just a lot of moving parts in professional baseball, and it's a grind. It's a test of, man, like, you know, you're going up against all these other guys from all these other teams and organizations, and all of them were the best wherever they played, right? So, like, it's a lot of competition. It's a lot of things that are just out of your control. So when I hit that point where I felt like, man, you know, why am I not getting my chance at the major league level? I was very close to even a call up. I remember one year in 2008, there was some chatter even in the media that I was going to be kind of like the next outfielder called up. And, you know, it just didn't really happen. Like, they ended up picking another guy, and it just depends on the need of that team at that time, right? Or you know, another guy had more major league experience than I had. And it's just like being in the corporate world and being passed over, you know, for a promotion that you felt like you deserve, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when those things started to happen and I saw kind of like that window closing of being that major league player, that major league superstar that I knew I could have been, I hit that crossroad of life kind of coming in, right? Like, at this point, you know, I started my pro career as a 20-year-old out of college. And now at this point, I'm like, I'm 28, right? And I'm married. And, you know, I actually found out, you know, we had our first child on the way that particular offseason. And you make that decision. And I remember I made the decision to do the responsible thing and go to work, right? And I kind of stepped away from baseball because I felt like the opportunities that were coming weren't exactly going to be in line with what I needed for my family life. Mm-hmm. And I chose that. And I still think, you know, it was the right choice for that time. But for me, it was kind of going against, like, myself career-wise. I was actually working for, like, a real estate investment company. We were living in Winston-Salem at the time, and I just met a guy that kind of talked to me about a position, and I kind of took, like, the position at that time, right? And it was a great experience. It was really, you know, really good as far as, like, what I needed as a new father, or, you know, a fairly new husband and all of those things. But making that transition was, like, super difficult. Even though I was able to do well in these various roles that I worked, that baseball always came back to me. You know, it was always kind of like knocking at the doors in my head. I would get calls from random people wanting me to work with their kids. Every time I felt like I was trying to step away from my passion a little bit, mm-hmm. something would call me back to it, you know? So I started listening, and I wanted to keep it in my life some type of way. So I gave back. It was almost therapy for me to coach with young kids. It was therapy for me to kind of be around the game in some capacity and be able to give back and be that mentor that I had. You know, I had a lot of great mentors that helped me get to where I wanted to go. And I started doing that, eventually started like a side business doing it, and, you know, just made it a point to keep it in my life. And ultimately, here it is, you know, 2 years ago, I started getting calls from major league organizations asking me about coaching. And yeah, so, like, I just look at it as like full circle, you know? Like, I think when you're really true to yourself, you make the decision that, hey, you know what? I do love this. I want to keep this in my life in some way. Opportunities tend to come.
You know what? I saw, like, little bits of that because on Instagram, I saw you in a suit and you were like, oh, back to work. And yeah, I was like, oh, that's cool. But when I saw you transition back to the coaching, I was like, yeah, that's the Mike D. I know.
Right.
You know, having to have a regular job and stuff too. But yeah, that was another reason I was really inspired and asked you to come and speak, because I saw that transition. And I was like, I wonder what brought him back to coaching baseball and just keeping baseball in your life. So that was a cool story to hear. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then you started getting calls from professional teams.
Yeah. So,
you know, man,
it was crazy. So I'm big on, even when I'm coaching players and everything, but I think in life in general, like, we have to have intent, right? We have to be clear about what it is we want, and then be very intentional with going in that direction. And that's what we do really well as kids, mm-hmm. right? Like we're very clear on what we want, and we find a way to move in that direction. But then, you know, adulthood comes and we kind of get kind of scatterbrained, right? Or we're not exactly sure how to set that GPS. We're just kind of wandering. And when I was working those years, you know, working kind of more in corporate roles, I felt like that's what I was doing. You know, I felt like I was just kind of wandering. I didn't like any, there were aspects of it that I liked. You know, I even went back to school. I got my master's degree and everything. But my master's degree was in sports management. You know, I was always doing something in sports. I went in 2017, actually got my master's from Georgetown University, you know, was able to do it online. It was a new new online program. And it really kind of helped me start to figure out, like, man, like, this is the industry I want to be in. Let's be very intentional in what I'm doing, right? So, like, if it was involved in baseball, like, I wanted to just be around it, right? And I never forget the day I talk to my mom every day, and I'm driving to, you know, my last job before going back to baseball, and I'm, you know, I was working downtown in Charlotte or working uptown. And I was in traffic, and I just, at that particular moment, said, all right, I only want to work in baseball from this point on. You know, like, this is what I want to do. I'm grateful for these positions. I'm grateful for, you know, being able to have some income for my family and things like that. So I don't, you know, I think the gratitude part is huge. But we also have to be clear on what is for us, right? Like, being true to ourselves. And it was that moment where I actually decided I'm going to go all in on baseball again, and I'm going to do it on the coaching side. And
stay tuned for part two of Michael Daniel on the Paisa Noel Show.
Thank you for tuning in to the Paisa Noel Show, hashtag PNS. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode, got something out of it, and found that laugh somewhere. If you are a visual person like me and you want to see these stunning guests in their interviews, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Paisa Noel Show PNS. If you're feeling the PNS podcast, please hook a sister up with a fantastic rate and review. Okay. They just got the option on Spotify now too. So, you know, hook a girl up. Last but not least, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Paisa Noel Show. Blessings, love, and laughter, y'all. Peace out.